bracket racket is down to the Elite Eight. Go to theticket.com. Make your vote count. In the NCAA tournament bracket, we've got two Final Four teams, and they're both from Texas, and we'll get into that here in 15 minutes. But first, George, you told us your spring break story yesterday. Gordo, we heard about your spring break a little bit yesterday. Right now, my spring break. As we mentioned yesterday, for the first time, we took a full week, all three of us, same time, a full week at spring break. We've never done that before.
I can't believe we've never done that before.
I know, it's weird. We've just never done it because different family obligations, different weeks, and we've never made it work for the same week. But I loved having that week off for spring break. And my wife and I did something very generic. We went down to the Texas coast for spring break. And, you know, my family's had a long history with Galveston Island. My parents moved down there in 1991, so we've had a 30-year family history down there. They lived down there for 15 or 20 years. My mom passed down there. We've made it a family vacation destination for a long time, but I've not been down there for about 2 years. So decided, since that's the closest beach destination, to drive down there for a few days last week. And we did that drive to Houston through the miserable city that Houston can be with the traffic and congestion and the urban sprawl. It's amazing how big that place is.
Yeah.
Got down to Galveston Island, which I love. I admit it's an acquired taste, but it's one of the quirkiest historic places in this state. It might be the most historic place in the state of Texas.
Why is it an acquired taste? Like, what are the knocks against it?
Because the coast is not beautiful blue water and white sand beach.
It doesn't quite look like Destin or someplace like
that. Yeah, it's brown sand and brown water.
Ew.
And the beaches have, you know, a lot of seaweed and trash and a smell to them. But there's also a lot of beauty to it. Did the Airbnb thing, and this is one of the first times that I have gotten burned by the Airbnb thing.
So hidden cameras?
In this neighborhood on the west end of the island that we like to stay, there were a couple of houses left. Did some late last-second booking, which is usually not my deal. I'm usually booking these places 6 months ahead of time, but we kind of figured out this vacation late. So had two choices. And I didn't feel good about this one, but went ahead and booked it and arrived, and it just kind of looked a little iffy from the outside. Walked in, and this was not cheap by any stretch. It was not super expensive. It was kind of middle of the road, but paying enough to where you think you're going to get a nice place. You walk in, the windows that looked out to the water had this brown stain on them where you couldn't even look out. I should post a picture. I took a bunch of pictures.
Because the owner was still sitting on the couch, and y'all walked in.
Yeah,
had a cigarette, going, oh, here, let me put this out. I'll get out of y'all's way.
The curtains in the bedroom were stained with this rust or blood or I don't know what, and they were ripped.
Yes.
Everything was really worn and just kind of had a layer of filth all over it. And I immediately texted the property manager, and I said, I can't believe you guys are renting this place, and I can't believe it got good reviews on the site.
Wow, it sounds like you really eased into it with them.
This place is awful.
Yeah. I have a couple of questions about the property.
Yes. I sent all these
with a pistol before you break out the bazooka.
I sent all these pictures, and I said, this furniture should be thrown out, not sat on.
Dude, stop it.
You advertise this view of the water, but you can't even look out of these filthy windows.
You clean the windows.
So the property manager and owner were nice about it. They said, yeah, we realize we've got a few issues. The owner's been trying to get to it. I said, I don't even think you should list this place. And they said, well, we'll let you get out of it if you want.
Oh.
So then I had to pay a cleaning fee or whatever, but I was fine because I didn't want to stay there. I didn't want to sleep in the bed. So I managed to find this other place on short notice, and the owner there was great and worked with us, and we moved our stuff over to this other house a couple blocks over, and that house was great. And I'm like, they should all be like this. And the owner was really nice to deal with and cut us a deal since we were last second. So we ended up getting that squared away. But it is, when you do the Airbnb, VRBO thing, it is a roll of the dice. And you don't know exactly what condition it's going to be like, but more and more people are going to this. I saw a story, because now people are coming out of the pandemic, story yesterday that Airbnb's business is through the roof, and most places are booked through the summer, and because everybody's anxious to get back out and travel again.
So sometimes the pictures on the internets don't match what you,
no,
what you find.
They're a little misleading. They can be a little misleading. Well, in the new rental, one thing that I found there on the coffee table was a book by the great Gary Cartwright, one of our great writers in Texas history. And he passed away a couple of years ago. Legendary writer. He wrote a book, The History of Galveston Island. And I looked at that and I thought, I'm going to read this on our vacation. And I didn't finish it. I got a third of the way through it. Pretty thick book. Great read. He is such a great writer.
Was he part of that whole Blackie Sherrod crowd?
Part of the Fort Worth Press, Dan Jenkins, Blackie Sherrod crowd. He was just, I saw one article over vacation that likened him. He, our Texas version of Hunter S. Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And this book is brilliantly written. And it, I always knew Galveston Island had this crazy history, but some of the detail that he goes into, some of the stories that he dug up, it really is the most fascinating place in the state, I think, because the history is so deep and so legendary because it's coastal. And so the explorers found this part of Texas kind of before they found anything else.
It was going to be the place in Texas, right, before the big hurricane?
Yes. It was the place in Texas before the big hurricane.
Yeah.
Houston was this tiny little stop in the road. Galveston was the big booming centerpiece of the state of Texas from about, I would say, 1800 to 1900. It was the city in Texas, and not just in Texas, but before the hurricane wiped it off the map, it was the number one port city slash city, certainly port city, between the East Coast and San Francisco. Everything ran through Galveston, and Galveston was an incredibly important town. The hurricane wiped it off the map, and so the importance moved to Houston. And that's when Houston blossomed, and Galveston just kind of lingered. But even Galveston had a resurgence in the roaring 20s, 30s, through the 50s. In the 50s...
When was that hurricane, by the way? 1906, somewhere in there?
Yeah, or 1900.
I was going to, yeah.
1900?
It was right at 1900.
Yeah. And like, how many people died in that?
7,000, they estimate.
Good.
Dang.
Yeah. And what I found interesting was not just the early history. It was first inhabited by the Karankawa Indian tribe, which he thinks, or historians think, he wrote about in this book, came over from the West Indies. They were known for building these giant seaworthy canoes, and they think that one of these canoes got lost, or a few of them, and ended up in Galveston Island. They just said, okay, this is where we're going to
might as well stay
hang
here.
Out.
That's good.
Pretty decent Airbnbs. What suspect?
Yeah, Junior said one of them's pretty bad. But
because they didn't look like any other tribe in the state of Texas. They were really tall and just had this different look to them, and so they don't think they originated here. They looked like a West Indies tribe. They were also believed to be cannibals.
Oh.
Wow.
And so then they encountered...
Some of them were fine and young, though.
They encountered the pirates, Jean Lafitte, the most famous pirate, along with Blackbeard. Those may be the two most famous pirates. Both made their way through Galveston Island. In fact, Lafitte set up a colony there, which was the first real colony set up outside of the Karankawa tribe. You know, but they moved around a lot.
Huh.
Then you get into the post-storm era of Galveston, the early 1900s. It was run by the Mafia. And they had a very famous entertainment room, the Balinese room there on a pier over the Gulf of Mexico. Sinatra played there a lot. He loved hanging out at the Balinese room. The history of Galveston is just unbelievable. But what I noticed this trip more than anything else is that Galveston is falling into the ocean. And some of those neighborhoods out west, and Cartwright even wrote about this in the history of Galveston, that beach has been eroding forever. Since the Ice Age, Galveston Island and the Texas mainland was 150 miles to the southeast. And every year, the island erodes a little bit on the seaside, but increases, grows a little bit on the bay side.
Okay, so nets out.
Right, so it nets out. Meanwhile, the Texas mainland decreases a little bit every year. So basically, Galveston and Houston were 150 miles to the southeast thousands and thousands of years ago, and now they've just kind of migrated to where they are now. But for those who built homes on the Galveston seaside, that when my parents first moved down there 30 years ago, the first two rows of homes are now completely gone.
Really?
Yes, hey. Completely
Wait,
gone.
From when your parents were
from when my
first
parents
moved there?
Moved there. And some of my favorite houses in that neighborhood are they're out in the ocean now or have been torn down. And it's kind of disturbing to walk down the beach and now there are a couple hanging on, but they're way out in the water.
You have the homes are actually out in the water?
So much so that you cannot walk down the beach because you have to go up into the neighborhood to get around some of these homes.
Oh, my gosh.
That is crazy.
And I remember my parents and their neighbors, they were a ways back from the water. You know, they were like 15 rows back. But they always joked, if we just waited out long enough...
Yeah, if you hang on, you got beachfront
We'll
property.
Be beachfront. So it's kind of disturbing, and you know, they had two near-miss hurricanes last year, and they had that horrible freeze that hit us. It hit the whole state.
That's right.
So now a ton of the palm trees died because they couldn't handle, they got snow and ice and freezing temperatures for a few days. So along the coast, the city looks as shabby as I've ever seen it, especially out of the West End where homes were claimed by the storms, landscaping was claimed. It was kind of sad. Because I've always loved the tropical feel of Galveston, but it's not the same after last year, after our Mother Nature experiences. Mm. So that's my spring break. We did have a couple good weather days. We had a couple bad weather days, which you expect in March, but a couple of good weather days where we could sit on the beach and had some good seafood and generally enjoyed the Texas coast.
Nice. I think we can all agree that Glenn Campbell song sucks.
Oh, man, I love that song.
I hate that song. Say sucks.
How dare you trample on his fresh grave.
It's not as bad as Wichita Lineman.
Which I love that song.
That is a beating of a song.
That one does bore me.
May he rest in peace.
Indeed on that part, the Hardline Zone, Glenn Campbell. Yeah. But
love it. I love it, and I will always...
It's such a 1980s opening theme song.
I love it, and I will always love that town and that island. It's a special place.
Stay hard, Galveston.
7:50 on the ticket. We got two teams from the Lone Star State headed to the Final Four. We'll get to that here in just 4 minutes.